This is special coverage from NPR to follow the latest from last night's mass shooting in Las Vegas. And we're going to continue to do that. But we want to turn for a moment to the Supreme Court because it begins its new term hearing oral arguments today. And this year will be the first full term for Justice Neil Gorsuch, President Trump's conservative appointment, who was quick to assert himself on the bench when he started late last term. There's a lot on the docket this year, so let's get to it with NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. We spoke earlier and started with President Trump's travel ban. Now, arguments were scheduled to be heard on the 10th. The justices canceled those, and so I asked, so has the case gone away?
Well, President Trump issued a new travel ban, and that means the old travel ban went away, and so there is arguably no case left. There are probably issues that will recur, but it's a pretty good educated guess that the court will decide and issue some sort of an order saying the issues are moot for now. And I emphasize the for now because there probably will be more challenges, similar challenges, to the new travel ban.
Let's talk about Gill v. Whitford. The court's going to be hearing arguments for this case. This is a challenge from Democrats to Wisconsin's legislative district maps. They were redrawn in 2011. Tell us more there.
Well, in that year, Republicans, for the first time in 40 years, I think, had unified political control of the state in a year after the decennial census. And they used it to a fare-thee-well. Mm-hmm. Not that Democrats haven't done the same thing. They met in secret. They drew up maps in secret. They rammed them through in a week. And the result was the following year that although Democrats carried a substantial majority of the statewide vote, they only got a minority of the seats. Republicans, the way it was redistricted, got 60 out of 99 legislative seats, although they carried 48.6% of the vote statewide. So the Democrats went to court, and it's been there ever since. Eventually, a lower court struck down the plan as unconstitutional extreme gerrymandering, and now the state and the state legislature have appealed to the Supreme Court.
Okay. So we'll keep an ear on that. And there's another case that I'm thinking people might think, wasn't this settled yet? Because it's been in and out of the news so often. This is the Colorado Baker's claim that he has the right to refuse service to a gay couple who asked him to make a wedding cake. So remind us the legal arguments here.
Well, the baker, who calls himself a cake artist, says he has a First Amendment right of freedom of expression to create what he wants to create and not something that a gay couple wants him to create because he doesn't believe in gay marriage. Doesn't fit in with his views, his religious views, and he doesn't want to do it. And that is in direct conflict with the Colorado Public Accommodations Law, which bans discrimination based on sexual orientation. On one side, he's got his argument for freedom of expression and a violation of his right of free speech. On the other side, the couple says this is just a pretext for discrimination, and we have a long history in the Supreme Court and the civil rights jurisprudence of saying that public accommodations laws are permitted to enforce the civil rights of citizens.
Yeah.
And Justice Kennedy is likely to be the deciding vote, and he cares about two things very, very much in his jurisprudence, and one is gay rights, and the other is the First Amendment.
Mm. And just to be clear, the baker, is he basing his case on the freedom of expression of an artist or on freedom of religion as a Christian? Is he hedging towards the artist?
He's definitely hedging toward the artist because in this case, for reasons I won't bore you with, the religion argument is deemed to be less strong because of a Supreme Court doctrine in this particular area.
Hmm. Just quick, technology seems to pose real challenges to current laws and to the court. This term, the court is going to be hearing arguments to do with the warrantless search and seizure of cell phone records.
Well, they're not the actual conversations. It's where you made the calls to and from.
Mm-hmm.
So cell towers, if you follow the calls and they keep all those records, you can triangulate roughly where people are when they make and receive calls. And doing that, law enforcement authorities were able to figure out what a burglary ring was doing in Detroit and who was involved in the ring. And they were apprehended and convicted, and now they're claiming that the cops should have gotten a search warrant ahead of time instead of a warrant that's much easier to obtain, which is like obtaining business records and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a very important case. Some people think it's the most important case in the Supreme Court because it has enormous implications for the future in a very technological world that we live in. And at the same time, you know, for the Supreme Court, one can't imagine that they're going to tell police that every time they want to track the movements of someone, but they don't want to put any sort of a device on that individual's car or anything like that. They just want to see roughly where they were, that they can't do that by getting material from a third party.
Hmm. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg, helping us look at the new Supreme Court term starting today. Nina, thank you so much.
Thank you.